You know, 6 weeks ago, I was privileged to share the second of the series of Unshakable. Talked about Joseph and not giving up on your dreams. And I was transparent in that message, and also, as the Holy Spirit worked it out, vulnerable. But today I want to be transparent and I want to be bold. Not with a desire to get something from you, but to give you some things this morning that'll help you be a follower of Jesus in this day and age that we live in. Talking about money matters of the heart. Did you know there are over 2,300 verses in the Bible that speak about money and personal finances in one fashion or another? Jesus himself said more on the subject of money than he did on heaven and hell combined. Now, here at Elevate, of course, what's our mission? We seek to help people find God, or to know God, to find freedom, to discover their purpose, and to make a difference with their lives. We desire, with the Lord's help, for people to find freedom over their past failures and sins, to find freedom over past disappointments and shame, to find freedom over the burdens and addictions that they carry, to find that freedom in a new life in Jesus Christ with the help of the Holy Spirit. And it's in that spirit of freedom that I share with you some hopeful and helpful words in this area of money matters of the heart. Now, there's someone that I've read a number of books by. His name is Larry Burkett. He's a Christian author. He died too early at the age of 63 from cancer. But this quote that I share with you now is a philosophy that I've taken to heart. Financial freedom is trusting in God's lordship and provision, finding contentment in what he provides, and being free to be all that he intends us to be. Trusting God in his lordship and provision, finding contentment, and being all that he intends us to be. I want to talk to you about a handful of things this morning. They are money matters, but they're also matters of the heart. And that's what's important in our relationship and walk with the Lord. I want to encourage you this morning that we can trust and put our faith in God's gracious provisions. In Romans chapter 8, Paul writes and he says, "If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things?" You know, this morning we praise the Lord, our Heavenly Father, for the gracious provision of his son Jesus. We just remembered Good Friday and celebrated Easter, that high point of our Christian year where we reflect on God's unfailing love that reaches out to every one of us, of his compassion and mercy when he sees us with our needs, how his grace and his goodness, we don't deserve, we can't earn it or merit it, but he extends it. And in his loving kindness, he woos us to himself so that we can know him and experience him every day in our lives. And this morning, if you don't know him, you can and experience his grace and goodness. You know, as I reflect, it's been 8 years this summer in June since the end of the Great Recession. We saw 10% unemployment. Many lost jobs and homes. Savings and investments were decimated. And I know as a gathering of this size this morning that included are people of all financial circumstances. Some are struggling. Others are comfortable. Some are prospering. We have single moms and dads. We have even grandparents raising grandkids. Millennials are living in their parents' home in the tune of 30% in the United States. People lose sleep because they're worrying about their bills, their health insurance, their student loans. I know people in this congregation that are working two part-time jobs without benefits to get by. It's never really been easy, But it seems in the times that we live in now that it gets harder and harder to make the way for too many. Government policy and corporate actions has oftentimes done us no favor. Recent polls show that those who voted for the current administration overwhelmingly felt that their lives were more difficult financially than they used to be. And they believed that their kids would be worse off than they themselves. You know, in my experience of working from age 16 to 60, so that's about 44, 45 years, I've seen some different things. I remember in 73, 74 recession, being laid off for 6 months and not knowing what opportunities might open up. In 86, when Alaska had its own recession, when oil dropped from $30 a barrel to 10, when the population of Alaska decreased 10%, it was a punch to the gut as well as to the finances when we lost our home. I remember what it was like to have two kids born at home. We didn't have health coverage. I can remember days and years where we were living check to check and using the credit card to get by. More than once, I was a bivocational pastor with periods of working part-time in order to make ends meet. And then in the last part of my working experience, I worked at Goodrich, and Carrie knows it, those 12-hour days, working every other weekend. And if you were unlucky enough to not have somebody trade with, you switched from days to nights every other month. And that wreaks havoc on your family life, your spiritual life, your physical life. But I also remember God's faithfulness. Times when I had more than one job to choose from, when friends and family were unexpectedly helpful and generous. I remember times of God's goodness and provision that were more than I deserved. You know, as a husband and a father, I can say we always had shelter and transportation. We always had food and clothing. We had resources for recreation and education. And in the end, we had sufficiency for our future retirement. Even when I was not full of faith, God was always faithful. Even when I was not at my best in my walk with God, God was always good. So I claim for myself and I proclaim to you this morning God's promise. How will he not also, along with Jesus, graciously give us all things? In Psalm 34, the psalmist writes, "Those who seek the Lord lack no good thing." Paul writes to the Christians at Philippi in the Philippians chapter 4, and he says, "My God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." You know, in the Old Testament, in God's progressive revelation of himself, he often gave different names concerning himself. And in Genesis chapter 22, the only time this name is given, God reveals himself as Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. And I can say he's always been true to his name. And it's worthwhile to trust him completely for provision in life. Another thing I would challenge you to reflect upon this morning and this week, to entrust your life completely to God's lordship over all. You know, Jesus' lordship touches every area of our lives. If I were to preach that message on sexuality, I'd focus on purity outside of marriage and faithfulness within marriage. If I were to preach on ego, in Jesus' lordship, he wants us to be humble and to be teachable. If I were to preach on personal relationships, we would focus on love as a foundation and empathy in action. But this morning we're preaching on finances. And God wants to be Lord in every area of my life and your life, including the area of finances. In 1 Chronicles, it is written, "Everything in the heavens and on the earth is yours, O Lord, and this is your kingdom. We adore you as the one who is over all things. Riches and honor come from you alone, for you rule over everything. Power and might are in your hand, and it is at your discretion the people are made great and given strength. You know, as I reflected upon my own life and journey, there were three major times when God's lordship was tested in my life. My first 5 years out of high school, I worked at Do It Best Distribution Center in New Haven. And it was a good union job. I remember making $6.90 an hour. But back then, I could have a trailer payment, a lot rent. Nanette didn't have to work. She was finishing her last year of college. I had a brand new Pinto. How many of you remember Pinto? And yes, I could fit in it back then. But in 78, we'd been married a year and a half, and the Lord, working in our hearts, wanted us to move to Alaska to find jobs, be lay people, and to help out a pastor at a church there in Anchorage. And we followed his leading, and it was a blessing. After 8 years in Alaska, we moved back to Indiana, and I got another job at a warehouse. Kroger's used to have a distribution center out by the airport. And again, it was a union job, and, you know, we were trying to rebuild things financially because of the repercussions of what we lost in Alaska in 86. And God had worked in my heart. I knew someday I'd be pastoring again. But I didn't know it'd be so soon. And I got a call from a church in Wisconsin, and they wanted us to come up and candidate. And so we, again, gave up a good job and moved up there. And then just 3 years ago, after working, 13 and a half years at Goodrich, God said, I want you to retire at 60 instead of 62 and help out Pastor Kyle here at Elevate. And Nanette came along on that decision a lot quicker than I did. But, you know, I worked hard at Goodrich, but I like the guys I worked with, and I like the money. But we went ahead and followed God's leading and lordship and made the decision. You know, there's so much in this economic system and times that we live in that's often beyond our control, that's bigger than we are as individuals, and we, in part, have to react to it in our personal lives. So it is so important to be surrendered and submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he made each and every one of us unique. And then he redeemed us with the blood of Christ to be his own. And he holds my life and your life and our future in his hands. So we should not only seek God because we want his blessing, but under his lordship, may we have his input, his direction, his guidance in these times that we live in when we consider educational opportunities, a career path, the skill sets we might develop, and any occupational or business opportunities that come along. Because it is God, as Lord of our lives, that would guide and lead us and bless us. The author writes in Psalms, and he says that promotion and power come from nowhere on earth, but only from God. Paul writes to the Christians at Corinth, and he says, you are not your own. You're bought with a price. And that price, of course, is the blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, honor God. So we are challenged this morning in every area of our life, including our finances, to surrender to his lordship and allow him to guide and direct us, that we might honor him. There's another area I want to challenge you with this morning. With the Lord, we can attain a heart of contentment. So I was doing some reading this week, last week and a half, preparing for this. Do you know in America, $150 billion a year is spent on advertising? And their total focus is to separate you from your money. The average American, with the amount of TV he watches, he sees 52,500 commercials a year. Advertising encourages us to buy things we don't need. It manipulates us to buy so that we can be happier, smarter, sexier, more admired, more loved. And then they make things to be obsolete. They're going to be outdated. They're going to fall out of use. They're going to need replaced. And they plan that, like with our iPhones, of constant updates and new design to keep us coming back for more. I read an interesting stat and thought, if the rest of the world, with 7 billion people, consumed like we Americans do, we're only 300 million, about 5% of the world's population. If the rest of the world consumed like we did, we would need 5 Earths to provide enough resources for everybody. You know, contentment is not a natural thing of the human heart. When I first graduated from, when I first started driving at the age of 16 and started working at Burger Chef, it was 6 years before I got married. And in those 6 years, I went through 6 cars. And the funny thing is that when I got married to Nanette, we went on our honeymoon, my car was in the shop and I had to borrow a car from my dad. Now, I learned a lesson from that. And before I retired, I'd driven my Chevy S10 for 13 years. Now, part of that was because of lesson learned, and part of it was because Nanette said, you're not going to get anything else. Now, when we moved to Fairbanks, Alaska, things were booming, and housing was tight, and it was us, Nanette and I, and Jason. I think he was about 3 years old, and the only thing that was available was a one-bedroom apartment, and Jason slept on a pull-out couch. And so we scrimped and saved, and Alaska had a loan program where you could put 5% down. And so we got a new house. And up until that time, we never had a credit card. But what happens when you get a new house? You need new furniture, new appliances. And so we got our first credit card. Also that year, we needed to replace our car, and then Janae was born, so we had another mouth to feed. But I love her dearly, and so I'd like to do that whole year over except for her. But again, we lost the home in the recession that Alaska had in '86, and so one of the lessons I learned is to be content with my housing. And this is for me, not necessarily for everybody. But we've lived in our home for 18 years, and working at Goodrich, I could have qualified and afforded probably a home two times what we had. But it was enough. The author of Hebrews writes, and he says, keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So I ask you this morning, where is our true wealth? Where is our true security? It's in our relationship with Jesus Christ. I like the wisdom of Ecclesiastes chapter 4, and listen to this. Better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. How many of us can catch the wind? So God would challenge us this morning to grow in our relationship with Him and attain a heart of contentment. Don't give in to the temptation of discontentment. You know, avoid coveting, wanting what others have, wanting newer, better, faster, whatever, because it'll leave you empty. Avoid the unwise use of credit, because all it's going to do is leave you worrisome and stressed out and a slave to your creditor. And avoid your comparison to others. We've all heard the expression, keeping up with the Joneses. Here's what happens. You can never keep up with the Joneses Just about the time you caught up with them, they go deeper into debt to buy more stuff. God would have us live simply and enjoy what we have with gratitude. So we would do well to follow Paul's example and assertion as he wrote in Philippians, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned, notice that, I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him, Jesus, who gives me strength. God help each of us to grow in a heart of contentment. Another thing that God would challenge us with this morning in this area of money matters of the heart is that He would want us to joyously experience a lifestyle of generosity. Again, Paul writes to the Christians at Galatia, and he says, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. We see in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, in His death on the cross, in His even coming to earth, the heart of God, that He loved us so much that He sent His Son to walk the path that He walked and to experience the suffering that He suffered and to die for you and me. That was a heart of love. That was a heart of generosity that He exemplifies to us. And He wants our heart to join His heart and be generous. You know, I learned early, probably around the age of 19 or 20 as a young adult, about tithing to support the local church. Also through our lives, Nanette and I, at different opportunities and with various needs, were challenged by God to give above the tithe in offerings. You know, when I pastored in Wisconsin every year, we would have a missions conference and we'd have missionaries come in and speak. And God challenged Nanette and I to give and support. And we tried to give a sacrifice and give a little more each year. When I pastored in Belton, Wisconsin, again, they were a church, country church. They had a building. They were a congregation 112 years old. And they had a building that old. And when we led them as a pastor through the building project and build a new church, Nanette and I were challenged as well to sacrifice and be generous in giving to that need. I remember our home church here in New Haven in 07 in January. The pastor felt led by the Lord to take what in the Old Testament is called a Jubilee offering. And so over a few months period, we were challenged to be able to pay off the church mortgage. And you know, that was providential in God's leading. Because then in December of 07, that's when the Great Recession started and lasted till June of 09. And because the church had its mortgage paid off, we were able to better weather the times that we were living in. You know, now I'm retired, and we have a monthly budget and income based on Social Security, pension, and Annette's babysitting. And we gladly tithe and support Elevate's ministry because it's touching people's lives. And people are coming to know Jesus Christ and the difference that He can make in their lives. You know, I also find a sense of satisfaction because not only we're doing something locally, but we're a generous church, and I believe we're giving about 14% outside of ourselves. That includes support to the Association of Related Churches, ARC, that we are under the umbrella of. And you know, last time with our giving as a congregation, we helped plant 79 more life-giving churches in the United States. And that's part of us working together, yeah. In the generosity of Elevate, we also give to community ministries such as the Food Bank or Kate's Card or Karis House or others. God wants us to be generous, to have His heart. Jesus wrote in Luke, or spoke in Luke chapter 12, and he says that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You know, what we value does have a hold on our hearts. But the conversely is true as well, that what our heart values, we give our treasure to. I'm speaking of money, yes, but I'm speaking of the heart. You know, generosity of the heart first, and not the amount. Remember the story of the widow's mite? Jesus is sitting outside the temple with his disciples, and the more prosperous and well-to-do were giving their 50s and their 100s. And the widow just put in a couple dollars. Okay. And Jesus, in looking at that, he said that she gave more than they did because she gave as a sacrifice. And so God challenges us to give out of our heart. In Proverbs chapter 11, verses 24 through 25, this is written, "There is one who scatters," they're sowing seed, "yet increases all the more. And there is one who withholds what is justly due, but results only in want. The generous man will be prosperous, and he who waters will himself be watered. Choose to live a glorious, joyous lifestyle of generosity." Another thing that we're going to close with here is that with God, life can be an adventure of making an eternal impact. You know, in Psalm 90, verses 10 and 12, this is written, "As for the days of our lives, they contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years. For soon it is gone and we fly away. So teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom." As you and I are followers of Jesus Christ, you know, we have a story to tell. We can share with someone else what God has done in our lives and the difference that Jesus makes. As a follower of Jesus, we can build relationships. As a follower of Jesus, we have spiritual gifts that we are to utilize to be a blessing to others. And in the same fashion, our finances are a channel to eternal impact. You know, I'm thankful for the life that God has given me, where He's placed me at this time. And in the efforts of my semi-retirement, I hope God can use me to make a small difference in His kingdom. But not only with time and gifts and talents, God challenges us to be generous in our finances as well. You know, Nanette and I, in preparation for retirement, statistically speaking, a couple at our age, Nanette and I, there's a 60% probability that one of us is going to live to 90. And so I took serious these last 10, 12 years to live so that, and I'm sure she's going to be the one to live to 90, not me, but to make sure that things are prepared well for her longevity. And we have IRAs and Roth IRAs. We have one of each. And just to share personally here, of those four IRAs, one of them we're going to be using the next 10, 12 years. And the other three, they're invested, they're going to be growing and building. And the Holy Spirit worked in my heart a couple years ago. And looking at the world around me and sensing the times that we live in, I felt led that rather than waiting, let that money sit and build up and grow to its full extent, that I wanted to make an investment in the kingdom of God now. So we, in essence, took a tithe out and invested it in the kingdom of God, in the spreading of the mission and the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've also made plans in our living will, last will and testament, everything, that yes, Janae and our son Jason will get the good bulk of whatever might be left, and I'm not saying there will be, but I also want the last thing in my life to be, and we put it in the will, that God's kingdom is going to get an amount as well. Because I want to be able, to the last of my life, to be able to touch people with Jesus Christ's love. Paul writes to Timothy and he says, command those who are rich in this present world not to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Grace be with you. God wants our lives to make a difference with our time, our talents, our energies, and yes, even with our finances. I want to close with a quote. It says, tomorrow's promise begins with today's choices, and eternity's potential begins with today's investments. You know, what we choose to do today, it's what makes a difference in the promise of tomorrow. And the things that we give of our heart and our treasure to, we give it to the things of God, it has the potential to touch eternity itself. So God challenges us as a matter of the heart to choose Him and His way of life, in His way of handling our finances, that yes, might be contrary to this culture that we live in, but it makes a difference for eternity. I'd like each of you to bow your heads at this moment. Yes, we've talked about finances, and I hope you haven't tuned me out because of that. But we've also talked about the heart. God loves each and every one of us. And you might be like I was once. I got off the path. I was spiritually restless. I distanced myself in my relationship with Jesus. But if you're like that today, you can find your day of restoration and renewal. Or there might be someone here this morning who the first time feels the tug of God's love on your heart, of His unfailing love, His generous grace. And He's tugging on your heart because He desires to have a personal relationship with you in Jesus Christ and to bless you with a fulfilling life. This can be your day of choice. In a moment, I'm going to ask if you'd like to either recommit your life to Jesus Christ or experience Him for the first time ever in your life, raise your hand. We as a congregation are going to pray a prayer and join with you and help you make your commitment. So, not to embarrass anyone, all heads bowed, but if you'd like to either recommit your life to Jesus Christ this morning or experience His love for the first time ever, I'd like you to raise your hand. Okay, we're going to pray this prayer, and I'd like you to help me. Jesus, forgive me for all my sins. I give my life to You. Make me brand new. I believe You died for me, Jesus, so that I can live. Fill me with Your Spirit so I can know You and serve You with all my life. My life is not my own. I give it to You, Jesus. Thank You for loving me. Amen. You know, let's give God a hand today, because His love is always extended.